Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 81 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Samantha Morrill.
And I'm Chaz Jenkins.
Two deputies at the central lab as they are conducting an autopsy at this time. So we do think that we will be able to get more information.
Sheriff Johnny Bivens is hoping the autopsy of a man found dead in Lewis County will reveal answers about his murder.
The ACLU is joining the fight to ensure access to abortion in Kentucky.
Moorhead State University is reevaluating its student recruitment process.
In sports, Moorhead State baseball Eagles are taking a break from OVC action this weekend to host UMass.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Thunderstorms likely tonight with lows near 55. The complete forecast is coming up after this news.
Authorities in Lewis County are investigating the death of a Vanceburg man who had been missing for nearly a week. The remains of 28-year-old Justin Johnson were found yesterday by a pair of hunters just off Cooper Ridge Road near the Lewis-Carter County line. Lewis Sheriff Johnny Bivens says Johnson died of a single gunshot wound to the head. While he doesn't have any motive yet for the man's slaying, Bivens says it may have been drug-related.
I'll never rule that out, of course. I don't know any communities that doesn't have a drug problem, but I do think that that Mr. Johnson probably was a user, had a substance abuse problem. But in the same sentence, he's he's been defined by his fiancée as a stay-at-home dad and an awesome father.
Johnson hadn't been seen since leaving his home on Town Branch Road last Thursday evening. His pickup truck was found the next morning in an area just south of Garrison. Bivens says an autopsy is being done of the man's body and his department is working to secure several search warrants in connection with the case.
A coal miner has been killed in southeastern Kentucky. The incident occurred early Thursday morning in a Whitley County mine owned by the Green Hill Mining Company. 33-year-old Joseph Pardon was killed after a 15-foot section of highway fell on him. John Murrah is the Director of Communications for the Kentucky Environmental Cabinet. He says there was no indication beforehand of this accident occurring.
The mine was last inspected last December, and another safety initiative was held at the mine in January of this year, and neither visit turned up unsafe conditions.
This morning's accident marks the second mining death of the year.
A 29-year-old Blaine man is held in the Big Sandy Regional Detention Center following his arrest on charges of beating a 4-year-old child. The Ashland Post of the Kentucky State Police says Billy Keaton was taken into custody Tuesday following an investigation. Trooper Craig Morella says the youngster was taken to Three Rivers Medical Center for treatment on multiple cuts and bruises and has since been released. Keaton is charged with criminal abuse of a child.
WSAZ is reporting that a 53-year-old Chesapeake, Ohio man has been sentenced to 20 years in prison following his convictions on charges of attempted murder, burglary, and tampering with evidence. Marvin Sexton was sentenced in Lawrence County Common Pleas Court in connection with the severe beating of a woman at a Chesapeake home last November. Prosecutors said Sexton attacked the victim with a shovel and left her in critical condition. He pleaded guilty to the attempted murder charge 2 weeks ago.
Efforts to set new limits on the state attorney general's powers are still underway on the final day of the 2017 General Assembly. As Josh James reports, new language introduced late last night would strip the top legal officer of the ability to file amicus briefs with the U.S. Supreme Court.
Bashir is calling the new language introduced in the Senate Judiciary Committee Wednesday an unconstitutional power grab, siphoning authority away from his office and handing it to the governor.
The attorney general isn't the governor's lawyer. He's not the legislature's lawyer. He's the people's lawyer. My job is to represent the families all over the Commonwealth and to make sure that no one has the power to trample their liberties. This would give a lot of that power over to the governor, which would give him the power to trample those liberties.
The substitute gives the governor the authority to represent the state in civil lawsuits, but carves out exceptions like utility rate and consumer protection cases that would remain the concern of the AG. Committee Chair and 2015 Attorney General hopeful Whitney Westerfield tells WUKY the bill's fate is not written in stone, but defends the Senate President's reasoning.
I'm not fully on board with everything in the substitute, but I do believe his legal rationale for doing it is sound. I think that his argument about the constitutionality of it is sound, and it's worth talking about, if only because there needs to be consistency in whether or not the AG is going to enforce the things the legislature passes.
The proposal comes amid a dispute between Governor Matt Bevin and Beshear over a recently challenged bill requiring the presentation of ultrasound results to women seeking an abortion, with Bevin calling the Democrats' legal defense inadequate. The changes could be up for discussion again next Tuesday. If passed, Beshear is promising to take the matter to court. In Frankfurt, I'm Josh James reporting.
The Senate Finance and Appropriations Committee today approved a bill extending the KFC Yum Center's tax increment financing district to 45 years. The current term sunset in 20 years. Scott Brinkman is Governor Bevin's Secretary of the Executive Cabinet. He testified for the measure, saying it would help pay off the facility's debt from an expansion of seating capacity and other improvements made to the structure.
The bottom line is that with increasing required debt service levels that begin in 2020, the current revenues of the Arena Authority, which are a combination of contributions from Louisville Metro, the TIF, and the operating revenues of the Arena Authority, will not be sufficient to pay the scheduled debt service on the bonds.
Supporters of the bill say refinancing the arena's bonds could save about $60 million in interest. They're hoping to move the bonds from junk status to an investment-grade rating.
The American Civil Liberties Union is joining a lawsuit to ensure women's access to abortions at Kentucky's only remaining abortion provider. Josh James has more.
If an order by Governor Matt Bevin's administration goes forward, the EMW Women's Surgical Center in Louisville would stop offering abortions on Monday. A move opponents say would effectively ban all abortions in the state. The administration argues EMW lacks proper patient safety agreements, while the clinic maintains the Cabinet for Health and Family Services approved the facility's license following an annual inspection a year ago. Now the clinic and the ACLU are suing to block the order, which they label blatantly unconstitutional. The action is the latest in a series of disputes between the Bevin administration and abortion providers, which led Planned Parenthood of Indiana and Kentucky's Louisville Clinic and an EMW clinic in Lexington to stop offering the procedure, leaving only one abortion provider in the state. In Frankfurt, I'm Josh James reporting.
The concerns Governor Bevin expressed when he vetoed a mental health bill this week are valid, so says the sponsor of the measure. However, State Senator Julie Rocky Adams says they were dealt with in the legislation. The Republican chief executive said personal liberties were at stake when he vetoed Tim's law, but Senator Adams, also a Republican, says the bill was carefully written so it would not set a precedent. The GOP-controlled Senate overrode the governor's veto Wednesday. The law establishes a procedure for a court to order someone who is suffering from a serious mental illness to be involuntarily committed for treatment. Adams tells KET certain conditions have to be met before such a directive can be issued.
I think that the language that was in the bill should have allayed those concerns because we were very specific about the population in which we were going to target. They were going to have to be involuntarily committed for two times within a 12-month period of time.
The Senate overrode Governor Bevin's veto by a vote of 35-1. The lone dissenter was Republican Will Schroeder.
House Speaker Jeff Hoover says no one should be surprised by votes in the Republican-controlled House Wednesday that overrode two bills vetoed by Republican Governor Matt Bevin. The House overturned Bevin's vetoes of House Bills 471 and 540. Hoover says that's just the way the legislature is supposed to operate. He spoke with Spectrum Cable's Pure Politics.
The way the framers set up our Constitution in Kentucky is that we dictate policy and we pass laws, and the governor has the authority to veto, but likewise we have the authority to override a veto if we feel strongly about the issue. We have that legislative independence and that legislative authority, and we chose to do that on both of those House bills.
Hoover says the House will continue to exercise its independence from the executive branch regardless of which party holds the governor's office.
The head of Morehead State's Board of Regents says the university will have to adjust its approach to student recruitment. According to Paul Goodpaster, the so-called equilibrium part of Kentucky's new performance-based funding formula is driving that change. The clause mandates that each public college and university receive the same amount of state money for each of its students. Because international and out-of-state students are included as part of that consideration, Goodpaster says MSU will have to enroll more of them.
Absolutely. You know, we have a 22 county service region that is primary to us. We want to do everything we can to take care of this region. But because of some of the changes coming forward in the performance-based funding model, we're going to have to do a slightly better job of recruiting out-of-state students.
MSU officials failed to convince state lawmakers to remove international and out-of-state students from the equilibrium clause. They had argued Kentucky's taxpayer money should not be used to fund their educations.
The complete impact of a mild winter on this year's growing season is still uncertain. That's according to Bob Marsh, the University of Kentucky's Agriculture Extension agent for Round County. Marsh says that a recent spate of freezing weather sandwiched inside the unseasonably warm temperatures in the region shouldn't be too damaging for area farmers.
Those cold temperatures, they, as far as I can tell, they really haven't affected much coming up into the growing season. I will say our winter, you know, our mild winter, I think it helped stretch our hay supplies. I don't hear a lot of guys, you know, trying to find hay to buy to, you know, take us through the little winter we've got left. So I think our easy winter benefited our livestock producers in particular.
Marsh, though, worries that the recent roller coaster temperatures will harm the output of the area's peach and plum trees. He remains hopeful that this year's apple crop will still be plentiful.
Carter County Judge Executive Mike Malone will be giving his State of the County address tonight. With a preview, here's MSPR's Xavier Adkins.
According to the Daily Independent, Judge Executive Mike Malone will be discussing the propane program and how it has helped Carter County save money. Another key element of his speech will deal with the county's recent push to significantly improve its economic development efforts. He'll also discuss solid waste management and how keeping the county clean could help bring more businesses and jobs to Carter County. Malone will reportedly also push for more unity among county residents because he believes that will help the area move forward. Reporting for Morehead State Public Radio, I am Xavier Atkins.
An Ashland minister has appealed to city commissioners to ban the consumption of alcoholic beverages at all public events in the city. Reverend Charles Rice says permitting open containers at festivities sponsored by Ashland in Motion or other groups, even if drinking is limited to a small area, sends the wrong message to young people. Matt Perkins serves on the city commission.
I think the minister has a fair concern, and we as a commission need to weigh all those things heavily. I think that's why we've been very cautious about how we implement a beer tent or some kind of alcohol tent in our downtown. We must be mindful that we represent all citizens, and not all of us are going to agree with each other, and we respectfully sometimes will disagree.
Perkins says Ashland wants to hold family-friendly events, but some people expect to be allowed to drink at outdoor festivals. He adds it's hard for the sponsors of those events to be profitable without the sale of alcohol.
Ashland Commissioner Amanda Clark says it simply isn't feasible for the city to operate its own recycling program. Clark has recommended that Ashland advertise for bids on a curbside recycling program. She says it would be too expensive for the city to start its own.
We would have to construct and man a sorting facility. We are very far from a sorting facility in Cincinnati. I think Cincinnati or somewhere around there is the closest one.
And Clark says even if the city collected recyclables, it would have to truck them quite a distance, and that would add more cost to the operation.
The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers cleanup crew is seeking volunteers to help with its annual cleanup at Lawrence County's Yatesville Lake. The event will be from 9 a.m. to noon on Saturday, April 8th. It will begin in Lawrence County Park at Picnic Shelter No. 3. Before the effort begins, volunteers will be asked to check in, obtain directions, and participate in a short safety seminar. Trash bags, gloves, and safety vests will be provided. Corps spokesman Andrew Auctioner says they'll need all the help they can get on cleanup day.
We would like to have as many as are willing. In the past, we've averaged around 75. I believe our record was about 110, 115, something like that. But as many as we can get to show up, that's how many we'll take.
For more information or to volunteer the Yatesville Lake Cleanup, call 606-686-2412.
Looking at the weather today, thunderstorms likely. A few storms may be severe. Low near 55 degrees. Chance of rain 100%, rainfall possibly over 1 inch. Friday, light rain early, then remaining cloudy with showers in the afternoon, thunder possible, high around 57 degrees, chance of rain 70%. Friday night, showers in the evening, then cloudy overnight, low around 42 degrees, chance of rain 30%. Saturday, cloudy, high of 54 degrees. Temperatures for the listening area, Ashland 81 degrees, Flemingsburg 78 degrees, Inez and Lexington 81 degrees, Winchester 79 degrees, and in Moorhead it's 81 degrees.
The time is 4:45. You're listening to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. I'm Samantha Morrill here with Chaz Jenkins, and we're glad to be with you on this Thursday afternoon. On our feature segment, some Ohio groups are pushing back against new environmental regulations set by the Trump administration. Mary Kuhlman reports.
President Trump's executive order rolling back climate regulations, including the EPA's Clean Power Plan, isn't getting rave reviews from some Ohio parents. Laura Burns with the Moms Clean Air Force in Ohio says the order takes the country back to dirty air. She believes it proves Trump is willing to put the interests of fossil fuel companies before kids, and says moms across Ohio will continue to fight attacks on the environment and public health.
We are really going to be working with our senators and our representatives to make sure that they understand that we didn't miss this. I think sometimes when policies get put out there, they just assume that no one is watching. But we are watching, and this is not something that Ohioans are pleased with.
One goal of the Clean Power Plan was to cut more than a billion tons of carbon emissions, mostly from power plants, by 2030, a move the EPA estimated would result in $55 billion worth of public health benefits. Some experts say kids are especially at risk for developing asthma and other breathing problems exacerbated by air pollution because their lungs are still developing. Trump called regulations created during the Obama administration federal overreach and promised a new era of job creation. Here in Ohio, lawmakers continue to battle again over the state's renewable energy and energy efficiency standards. And Burns says it's more important than ever that Governor John Kasich, who has acknowledged the need to fight climate change, knows he has support.
Governor Kasich needs our support. He's worked really pretty hard on getting us some clean air regulations by way of clean energy. And the Ohio Senate just keeps going back and forth about them, and they keep trying to dismantle them and freeze them. So they need to be hearing from us.
Groups including Moms Clean Air Force, the National Wildlife Federation, Ohio Citizen Action, and Progress Ohio are among those condemning the president's executive order, which is expected to face some legal challenges. This is Mary Sherman, Ohio News Connection.
The time is 4:47. This is Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. Braxton Howard has sports. He's coming up in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR comes from Coffee Tree Books and the Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop, promoting literacy and reading in the MSPR listening area since 1978. Coffee Tree Books, where books are ordered every day and special orders can easily be accommodated, featuring a variety of gifts, cards, locally made crafts, and now a complete yarn shop. A community bookstore located at 159 East Main Street in Morehead. The Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop and Coffee Tree Books are open Monday through Saturday, online, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Good afternoon with Morehead State Public Radio Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. The Morehead State baseball team will be stepping away from OVC play this weekend. Winners of six in a row, Coach Mike McGuire's Red Hot Eagles will host UMass for three games, which start tomorrow at Allen Field at 5 o'clock.
We get a week off from conference, so we'll find out more about them tomorrow. But, you know, I'm more concerned with how we play. I like how we're playing right now, and we just need to keep doing that.
UMass rose into Morehead at 6-10 and losers of five of its last seven games. The Minutemen are hitting just .260 as a group this year. Rookie pitcher Amir Garrett says he is excited to start the season as part of the Cincinnati Reds starting rotation. The 24-year-old left-hander says it was a surreal experience for him when he was recently informed by manager Brian Price that he would be going north next week with the big league club.
You know, when Skip told me that I made the club, my life flashed before my eyes, like everything, just from basketball, high school, like it was just like just a quick flash, like all the steps that I've been through.
This spring, Garrett has posted a 3-1 record with a 4.22 ERA in 21 and a third innings. He has struck out 14 and allowed 25 hits. The Morehead State softball team is gearing up for three OVC games at Tennessee State this weekend. After watching the Eagles score just six runs in their last six games, Coach David Williams says they need to do a better job of lighting up the scoreboard.
I think that needs to be a focus for us throughout the rest of the season. We need to try to increase our offensive production and put more runs up and give more run support for our pitching staff.
The MSU softball team is 18-11 overall. The Eagles will be out to improve on their 2-2 conference mark when they face the Tigers. A college basketball referee is reportedly getting death threats from Kentucky fans. Kentucky News Network's Paul Miles has more.
ESPN says NCAA referee John Higgins met with law enforcement after he received death threats from UK fans. Higgins worked the game between Kentucky and North Carolina, in which Coach John Calipari's Wildcats were whistled for 19 fouls.
You know, it's amazing that we were in that game where they practically fouled out my team.
ESPN says John Higgins' phones have been ringing off the hook, with angry Kentucky fans calling to complain and some even making death threats. I'm Paul Miles.
Kentucky head coach John Calipari did tweet yesterday telling fans to, quote, remain classy even after a tough loss. According to Kentucky Sports Radio, Kentucky big man Bam Adebayo is leaning towards entering the NBA draft, but not signing with an agent, leaving open the option of returning to UK for his sophomore season. North Carolina lawmakers voted today to roll back the HB2 bathroom bill in a bid to end the backlash over transgendered rights that has cost the state in hosting basketball tournaments, including this year's ACC and NCAA tournament sites. The plan was worked out under mounting pressure from the NCAA, which had threatened to take away more sporting events in the near future. One other note from college basketball today, Dayton has hired Oklahoma City Thunder assistant coach Anthony Grant as their new head coach, replacing Archie Miller, who accepted the Indiana job last week. Grant was the Alabama head coach from 2009 through 2015. He played his college ball at Dayton in the mid-1980s. Hit hard by 21 graduation losses, the Morehead State football team started this week's spring drills with several vacancies in its depth chart. While the quarterback spot is getting most of the popular attention, Coach Rob Tenure says he's looking at filling some important holes in the Eagles' kicking game.
We lose Pat DeSalvio and Matt Ward both. We lose our holder. And so really, you know, when you consider that, you start from scratch. And we don't have any current kickers on our roster, and so we're going to depend on some freshmen to come in and help in that role. And we think we got some good ones.
The MSU football team's spring practices run through April the 22nd. Louisville football coach Bobby Petrino says his Cardinals spent a lot of their offseason preparing not just their bodies, but their minds for the 2017 season. Petrino had his players doing a lot of film work, trying to get them to learn more about their positions, the card schemes, and what's happening on the other side of the ball.
Offensive players need to know what defenses they're asking their guys to do. Defensive players need to know what offenses are doing. And I thought our players put a lot of time into it in studying that and really understanding that this preparation phase of their career is about getting better physically but also mentally.
The Louisville football team spring practices started this week. And finally in sports, as the Kentucky football team spring practices roll along, the program got some good news today. Four-star defensive end Alex Riegelsberger announced today that he will enroll early at UK. He is ranked as the 13th best defensive end in the country by ESPN. Kentucky spring practices run through April 14th's Blue-White spring game. That's it for sports. For Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Eagle Baseball will host Massachusetts for three games this weekend, 5 o'clock p.m. tomorrow, 2 o'clock p.m. on Saturday, and 1 o'clock p.m. on Sunday. Tickets and more information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the National Offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. equities closed higher as financial stocks led, while investors digested key economic data and kept an eye on oil, or I should say on rising oil prices. And the Dow Industrials did finish with a gain of 69.17 at 20,728.49. The S&P 500 was up 6.93 at 2368.06. And the NASDAQ Composite was up 16.8 at 5914.34. And that is a record closing high for the NASDAQ. And New York Stock Exchange breadth was 17 to 11 in favor of winning stocks over losers. Energy stocks were among the best performers, with the sector rising 0.4% as they received a lift from oil prices. Crude oil rose 1.7% to settle at $50.35 a barrel, building on yesterday's gains after better-than-expected inventories data. The U.S. economy grew at a rate of 2.1% in the final quarter of last year. This, according to the last GDP estimate for 2016's fourth quarter. This was greater than expected. Other data released today included weekly jobless claims, which fell by 3,000 to 258,000. U.S. Treasury bond prices fell following the data's release, with a benchmark 10-year note yield rising to 2.42%. Yields have pulled back from their 2017 highs since the Federal Reserve raised interest rates earlier this month, but maintained their outlook mostly unchanged. And speaking of the Fed, the New York Fed President, William Dudley, will speak after the close. And the Dallas Fed President, Robert Kaplan, earlier said he sees 2.25% GDP growth this year, but added that a slowing economy in China will make the world more vulnerable to fiscal instability. In your commodities markets today, gold was down 0.84%, finishing at $1,243.20 an ounce. And among Dow industrial stocks, your best performers were ExxonMobil and American Express. Your worst performers were Nike and Procter & Gamble. In the S&P 500, your best performers were ConocoPhillips and Freeport-McMoRan, and the worst performers were Akamai Technologies and CF Industries. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global up 59 cents at 124.01, CSX up 6 cents at 47.34, AEP down 23 cents at 67.16, Marathon Petroleum down 42 cents at 50.13, AK Steel up 15 cents at 7.22, and U.S. Bancorp is up 37 cents to finish at 52.12. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Final time, thunderstorms likely, few storms may be severe, low near 55 degrees, chance of rain 100%, rainfall possibly over 1 inch. Friday, light rain early, then remaining cloudy with showers in the afternoon, thunder possible, high around 57 degrees, chance of rain 70%. Friday night, showers in the evening, then cloudy overnight, low around 42 degrees, chance of rain 30%. Saturday, cloudy, high of 54 degrees. Saturday night, cloudy skies early will become partly cloudy later at night, low of 39 degrees. Sunday, intervals of clouds and sunshine, high around 67 degrees. Sunday night, becoming cloudy with occasional light rain after midnight, low around 51 degrees, chance of rain 70%. Monday, rain likely, thunder possible, high around 64 degrees, chance of rain 90%. Monday night, rain likely, thunder possible, low of 54 degrees, chance of rain 90%. Tuesday, cloudy with occasional light rain, mainly in the morning, high near 65 degrees, chance of rain 60%, and it's 81 degrees in Moorhead.
And that's it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from MSPR staff Chuck Moraz, Dan Conti, Braxton Howard, Courtney Howell, Xavier Atkins, Victoria Agee, and Sean Delaney. From WUKY, Josh James, and our feature came from Mary Kuhlman. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Chaz Jenkins and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Samantha Morrill for Moorhead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.